You know, the world right now is a really unsettled place. And for such a time as this, women play a most important role in history as peacemakers. The goal of Ladies of Liberty Sound Off is to affect the lives of women in an empowering way through discussion of important issues of the day. So, are you ready? The Ladies of Liberty are ready to sound off.
So we've got a latest headline of Joe Biden saying that Facebook is killing people, yet he has done virtually nothing to stand up to big tech. And it seems to me that we started with a discussion during the Trump years of the revoking or rewriting or reworking the Section 230 of the Communication Decencies Act, which was originally forged in 1996, so it's 25 years old. And we've gone so far beyond that, it's really indistinguishable. So you had this this Section 230 that actually was the only thing that survived that Communications Decency Act, because the Supreme Court challenged it, and I think it was a 7-2 decision. It gutted most of it, because it was found to be so restrictive on free speech. So it did protect, it gave immunity to the internet providers such as Facebook and Twitter, that they can't be held liable. But, and most of that, if we recall, was because of back then, that was 25 years ago, it was, child pornography and bootleg movies. And then, you kind of flash forward and you've got Zuckerberg saying to Congress that Facebook shouldn't be the arbitrator of truth. And that was back when the Democrats were, freaking out over every Trump tweet while they shanghaied the People's House and impeachment and Russia collusion and dossier lies. Right. Thank you very much, Adam Schiff. And now here we are with the Biden and the Democrats fueling this mandate to crush everything right of their left extremist rantings. And it makes you wonder what happened to, after those first hearings. It's not just Facebook, it's Twitter, it's Google, it's the app stores, it's pandemic, right? We all know the terminology, the shadow banning, Twitter jail, fact checkers, and, deplatforming the president, for crying out loud. And here we're censoring and have a total blackout of any posts from the main street that questions the party line, the Democrat party line. So in my opinion, if it walks like fascism and it talks like fascism, it's probably fascism, right?
Yeah, I want to say something about what you said about the people inside Facebook, for example, that are banning these posts or that are censoring them, taking them offline. They're taking YouTube videos. They're even taking people like Judicial Watch off of YouTube. So my husband regularly gets banned on Facebook for something that he doesn't even know what he did. But he doesn't sit there and take it. What he does is he looks up the person, because you can find out the person who actually did the censoring of your article, because you can complain about it and you can question it. When he has looked up these people, ladies, they are something like 20-year-old people that are still wet behind the ears, that don't have any idea what we're talking about here in this country. And they are the ones that are reading through these things and making a lot of these decisions. And you can actually then go ahead and Google those people and find out what their credentials are. And they're nothing. They're just nothing. They don't have any credibility to be people that are making a decision that what you just said about COVID or what you just said about the elections is wrong. And that in and of itself is wrong.
And they're censoring a person of the gravitas of Ron Martinelli.
He's going to love you, Mallory.
It's completely absurd. And I would just like to know, when he looks up who these people are, Linda, are they, first of all, these are professors' products. These are the products of activist professors, I'm sure, if they're 20 years old. And just let me ask, are they usually female?
No.
Oh, they're not?
No.
Oh, okay. All right. because the most troublesome people I'm finding right now are the 20-year-old girls. They're just, you know, they're just driving me out of my mind. And they've been brought up by these activist feminist mothers, and they're being taught by this activist feminist professors, and it's all propaganda. You know, the thing that I can't get over, the thing that just absolutely has me crazy, is that when the founders did the First Amendment, they knew exactly what they were doing, and they knew exactly what they wanted to get out of it. And what they constantly affirmed over and over and over again is that the speech to be protected is the vilest speech, the most offensive speech, the speech that nobody wants to hear. Absolutely despicable speech is the most protected speech. That's because unless you're inciting to a mob to be violent, which, by the way, I find that they don't censor that at all. People can just start activating mobs, Maxine Waters, and take into account at the drop of a hat, which is actually against the law. It is against the law to incite other people to commit violence. But the left is doing it constantly. But the thing that the founders discussed and argued about and settled upon was that aside from depriving others of their liberty or inciting people to violence, the most despicable speech is the whole point of the amendment. Because look, if everybody was taking part in desirable speech, there would be no point in having the First Amendment at all. If everybody likes everything everybody is saying, then there's no need for this. The only reason that they have the amendment is to protect unpopular, unlikable, vile, objectionable speech. That's the only speech that really comes in under this. If what you're saying is wonderful and delightful and adorable, the First Amendment doesn't come into play. So I just don't get how almost every person in America doesn't know this. They don't know that the whole purpose was to defend speech you don't want to hear.
Well, and I think that's exactly right. And I think that was the discussion some time ago, but this headline from Biden blows that right out of the water. Because somewhere between Facebook saying, don't make us do it, don't make us be the arbitrator, we're at total censorship of non-party rhetoric. And it's pretty clear some sort of meeting took place between Joe and Mark, and they decided what information or questioning the American people could hear. And by Joe, I mean his puppeteers, right? But I mean, him calling out social media posts that are contrary to the party line about COVID vaccines, because the virus hasn't been totally eliminated, it's kind of delusional. So trying to force the idea that the administration's means and methods are superior to the Americans' means and methods, or even that of Mother Nature for that matter, it's like an infringement on our basic personal liberties and an affront to our individual ability to determine what's best for our own personal health and the natural progression of viral immunity, right? So they're making a determination on this small elitist group of non-elected professionals, and by that I mean Dr. Fauci and the like, where science is the definition of science is to constantly question and evolve in your determination of facts. And we've been at this for 18 months as far as the virus goes, which is what Biden was talking about killing people. And they've hold stringent in their position, and they're not evolving with the facts and the new data. And the fallout from this is really, really bad. I read a recent survey that said that one third of Americans have overestimated by a factor of 10 the probability of a person with COVID-19 to require hospitalization. So in other words, so like Democrats clocked in at 41% of Democrats interviewed thought that it was 50% of people who got COVID would be hospitalized. And even though like an absolute number isn't known, because none of these numbers are absolute, but the best available estimate is between 1% and 5%. 1% and 5%. And you have half the population, or almost half the population, thinking that it's almost half the people that get it. So we have to look to the politicians and the media for pushing this fear narrative. And rational folks are starting to ask, hopefully at best, who's benefiting from all of this overestimating of the risks involved? Because, I mean, we have non-elected bureaucrats. They're picking essential versus non-essential, wielding unlimited power at the local county level. I mean, California, you know, I'm crying out here, right? And it results that we've got kids out of school for 2 years and small business closures in the tens of thousands in California. And now we have this untold story that's just surfacing of mental health deterioration, suicide, loneliness, social unrest. We see that everywhere. And it's just, I don't think it's some master conspiracy to make cyborgs out of all this, because I really don't think they're that smart. But I do think that when you start kicking the can down a slope, you know, physics takes over and the car keeps going faster and faster until somebody stops it.
Well, now, you know, I want to warn everybody against this business of saying there's no conspiracy. this has become very popular to say, I'm not a conspiracy theorist. And that's like at the end of the day, and now it's a deep dive. Please, I promise, I will never use the term deep dive. Everybody is suddenly saying deep dive every other sentence. I don't know how this starts in America, but things just start and then they just keep on rolling, you know, and everybody is saying it. And this disturbs me so much, because the fact of the matter is that I lived in China. I know China. And believe me, this is a conspiracy. There is no question about it, that the Chinese generals and colonels who wrote their famous books, How to Destroy America, these books were written in the 1990s, and they outline completely describe word for word, for act, exactly what they're going to do to unleash viruses in order to destroy America. And now they're doing it, and people are going, oh, gee, do you think they did? I mean, I have no idea what you have to do to make the American people really wake up about something and see reality, because things can be right in front of their faces, and they're still going around saying, well, gee, I'm not quite sure. Do you think that they... Please, please, we all have to settle on this. We all have to come to understand that they could not beat us economically or militarily, and so they unleashed this virus. And it is definitely a conspiracy. And believe you me, the Chinese are the shrewdest people. I lived among these people, and I came home from living in the Far East, and I never came home during the whole 4 years I was in Asia. I was there. I was thoroughly Asia-fied for 4 years, and I came home just begging Americans not to get involved closely and deeply with these people, because they are so shrewd. There's a certain way in which they are so far ahead of us, you simply can't imagine how far ahead of us they are in a certain sense. They don't have the Judeo-Christian basis, so they lack a great deal, because they don't have any idea what truth is. And, you know, you can be very hard ahead in all kinds of things, but if you don't have any idea what truth is, you're really way behind. And mm-hmm. And the fact of the matter is that they knew that this would affect our mental health. They know all the results of spreading a virus the way they've done it. They knew that it would mean people would get despondent. They knew that people would become very afraid. It's just a very clever, very, very, very sleek form of terrorism to keep unleashing. And they're going to unleash a lot more viruses, you guys. They killed 3 million people in the world and 600,000 Americans without ever dropping a bomb. They are rubbing their hands in glee. They are laughing up their sleeves at us. I promise you, I've been in rooms where I watched them laugh up their sleeves at us. I heard the things that they have to say. You simply have to really wake up, America, and understand we have a virulent enemy, an extremely, extremely dangerous enemy that absolutely wants to annihilate us. They would like to just destroy all of us and move on into our country and occupy it, take it over. But they're not going to do that with weapons, because everybody in America is armed.
Well, they have Joe Biden. Joe Biden is their weapon.
Yeah, well, Joe Biden is just...
Hillary, what they have. I don't, when I say conspiracy theory, what I meant is that I don't think Biden's smart enough to be able to orchestrate all of this. Remember, the U.S., putting China aside, in the U.S., all of this started because they wanted to discredit Trump. And it just,
right,
and
but
the media was complicit and off it went down the hill.
But they've hoodwinked Biden. Biden is just a stupid tool.
Biden
has no idea what's going on.
In it for whatever goes into his pocket. And that's as far as he sees. He doesn't see past that for the American people. But I want to go back to something that both of you talked about. Because in this campaign to censor us and to censor people on Facebook, not following the party line on COVID posts, okay, there is no all-around agreement on anything COVID. There are positions on all sides of this issue. Take the vaccine, don't take the vaccine. Masks, no masks. And Fauci should not be the person deciding what's the science says, because Fauci changes his mind every other minute as to what is politically convenient at the moment. So there are many doctors who say that children in schools wearing masks, especially now they say from 2 years old on up, that's ridiculous. That is more dangerous for those children than it's getting the virus. And that is what the science says, but they are not saying that. And as far as what Gavin Newsom just did in California, I was there at the time that he did it, by the way. And, you know, that was ridiculous to make people, including vaccinated people, wear masks again. I wear a mask when I wear a mask for a long period of time, which I don't anymore because I live in Texas and I don't have to. But I feel worse and I have more respiratory issues than any other time. You know, so I know that they're not healthy to wear. You're breathing in lots of different toxins when you're wearing a mask for a long period of time. We cannot do that to our children, along with, you know, just the whole censorship thing that they are in collusion about against people that are supposedly saying the wrong things. Who is to say that they are saying the wrong things? The idea of America is that we have a freedom of information society where we can make our own decisions about who's right.
We did. That's past tense, Linda. We did. Well, we don't anymore. Yeah. That flew out the window.
I agree with you, but that's what this all is about. This is about.
But you guys, you know, do you remember all those doctors who came out on the steps there?
Yes.
And outdoors there? All those doctors in their doctor's regalia and uniforms and their stethoscopes and everything. And they said an entire thing that they all believed in. And what was that? Like maybe 12 people? How many people was that? There was a lot of professionals out there. And they were banned. They were stopped. They were taken off the air. I mean, it was really absolutely audacious. The way and political people did this to these professionals.
Well, but if you're trying to push through an experimental, quote unquote, vaccine, it can't be even approved for emergency use if there's an alternative remedy out there. And so hydrochloroquine and ivermectin and anything else that was out there that limited the fatality rate of the disease couldn't be purported because that would limit them to be able to come up with this vaccine, which a lot of people have made a lot of money regarding. Now, I'm not saying that it's not appropriate for a lot of people to take a vaccine because they have certain issues that require this as a last-ditch effort to get their body to fight either herd immunity or natural antibodies. So there's a place for everything, but it's a variety of issues because everybody has different health issues. So it can't be, it's not a single lane type of a remedy thing there. But we have all from the beginning been looking this from a transmission standpoint and not an upfront prophylactic ability to do it, sending people home into nursing homes and quarantining at home with people who are sick. You don't do that when you got the flu. Everybody, that's why you pass the flu around when your kids are little, everybody gets it because you're all inside and it's winter. Exactly. It just, it defies the whole thing defies logic. But they were the fear porn that got cranked out on every major network, except pretty much for Fox. But all of those other channels, for crying out loud, CNN had a ticker tape across the bottom of their screen of people dying. And we all know now, most everybody should know, that number was hugely inflated and not correctly tallied and isn't representative of people with comorbidities or on their deathbed or already in hospice. So how accurate is that number? But boy, you see a ticker tape of people dying. Even though we weren't, you get one little thing of a refrigeration truck pulling away from New York. But gee, Cuomo, he's still in power. He's still in office.
But, it's really vital for people to be mixing up around each other, particularly children. Everybody has to be rubbing shoulders and rubbing elbows because that's how we create antibodies. That's how we build up our immune system. If we're all isolated behind these masks and in our homes and 6 feet apart, we're all going to stop producing antibodies and we're going to stop having good immune systems. Yeah. I mean, this is something that the Chinese knew from the get-go. Believe me, they had this planned from the get-go that they know about consequences, that they do A here and Q happens, all those letters later. Americans just don't seem to have this capacity to understand cause and effect. They look three letters down and they don't even see the consequences coming.
Yeah, very, very much so. Reading headlines and not the body of the article. Did you all hear the Chinese a young woman who was a part of the lab, the Wuhan lab, and she is extricated from China now. She was in Hong Kong. She's done a lengthy interview on Tucker Carlson's Fox Nation broadcast. And she speaks directly to everything that you're saying, Mallory, absolutely verbatim. That this was it was the army that initiated this. It was a bioweapon. Right. It got out of control because, we're all human and everybody makes stupid mistakes and it got out of control. But the funniest thing that I heard in that interview was that she said that and she kind of had broken English, but it was so poignant that they decided to tell the Americans that it was a bat in a cave that caused it because that'll keep them busy for a while, because it has mystery. They'll never find the end, the resolution of that. And here, give that to the Americans. They'll buy that. And I had to just, it's so true, right? I mean, we just eat that stuff up. It's
the word crazy that gets passed around China in all their drawing rooms and meeting rooms and all their living rooms, all over China, what has been said for a couple of centuries now is, tell the Americans anything. They're the most gullible and naive people on earth. They will believe anything you say. An American will believe anything you say. This is what they tell each other.
Yeah. But Mallory, there was something else that scientist said. She also said, I think maybe it might've been Tucker that brought it up. In any case, the point was, is that American people have a hard time thinking that, because we've seen this in our Hollywood movies, but we really don't think people are evil. How can people have this in this horrible baseline of evilness in them to hurt all of these people that they don't know? It's unbelievable to us. So we try to default to, well, it's a bat or it's a, right? Easier to swallow.
Yeah, we try to think up reasons why. Well, he murdered 72 people because he was beaten up a lot when he was 10. Americans, it's very hard for them to settle on the fact that there is an evil person. And believe you me, when I lived in Asia, I learned that there are a lot of very evil people.
I think that they're everywhere. One of the organizations that I have a lot of respect for is Judicial Watch.
And I love them.
Very, very good work. And one of the things that they did, just speaking of censorship and Facebook and some of these, Facebook, Twitter, Google, YouTube, all of those who censor posts, they submitted a FOIA document request, and they received 544 pages of documents from the Office of the Secretary of State of California, which, when read, revealed how state officials pressured social media companies, as the ones I mentioned, to censor posts about the 2020 election. And included in those documents were misinformation briefings and emails that were compiled by a communications firm called SKDK, which, coincidentally, lists Biden for president as their top client of 2020. So the documents show how the state agency pressured YouTube to censor a Judicial Watch video, and we all know about this one, that concerned the vote by mail and the lawsuit settlement about the California voter roll cleanup. So that was absolutely a true thing that happened. Judicial Watch sued California to clean up their voter rolls, which they had not done, which it, by law they needed to do, and they won, and they put a YouTube up about it, and it was censored. So they're not just taking down things that they think are not true. They're taking down things that are not politically convenient for them. And
sure,
this is what people need to understand, is that this is a very, very dangerous precedent, because it's not going to be just on COVID. It's going to be on elections and our future elections. And you're not going to be allowed to say anything when you see and know that dishonesty or cheating has occurred. You are just going to be quieted. And that is not what America is about.
You know, I don't understand here, because I've never been on Facebook. It sounded kind of repellent to me the minute I heard about it, but wasn't that started out as a thing where people in families were exchanging photographs with each other and keeping in touch with your family? I mean,
that's when the share price was $50.
I mean, I don't understand. Well, I don't understand how censorship would come into Facebook even. I mean, isn't it a private thing among people?
Yes. Well, it's yes, Mallory. And that's the point that I made in my opening, so to speak. We went from Zuckerberg sitting in front of Congress saying that Facebook shouldn't be the arbitrator of truth, to his collusion with the government and giving millions of dollars to certain districts to buy ballot boxes. And we know all about that, right? So there's been a conversion in his he's not wearing the hoodie anymore. He's all grown up, and he's tasting the power of it all, because something markedly has changed between that Mark Zuckerberg and the one that now is writing the checks to change the votes in districts, and seriously colluding with the government to censor huge portions of the American people. And so Facebook is going down, Twitter's going down. We have many new formats and platforms that are coming up, because conservatives will not be silenced. And we have, my Republican Women Group has Brandon Straka coming next week, who has been deplatformed, demonetized, arrested just for being at the Capitol. So his case is still pending. I shouldn't talk about it too much, but this is real stuff that's affecting real people in one political side of the aisle and not the other. And so we have to create our own platforms to be able to fight back against it.
Well, you know, just as my husband walked out the door today, he said to me, "Did you hear that George Soros and Bill Gates bonded together to do what is it they did?"
They bought one of the testing companies, that COVID testing companies.
Uh-huh. Oh, yeah, the testing. Yes, they together, George Soros and Bill Gates.
Well, they've done a lot of things together. So, you know, I
don't think I was aware that Soros had gotten involved with Gates directly, or that they were partners.
They've done some other things in sync with one another. But, you know, the Secretary of State of California had this misinformation list, and they had people going on Facebook and reporting back to them so that they could add these posts to this misinformation list. And then that list went to the social media companies, and they had like a direct line to the social media companies, and they were told to take this off, take this off, take this off. So basically what we have is the Democratic Party having a direct line to the social media companies and saying, okay, take this post off, and it just was done. That is just, I mean, talk it's about fascism. Your First Amendment.
Fascism.
It is fascism.
Yes. Well, that's what I was just going to say. You know, fascism rears its ugly head sort of by nature. You know, it's sort of part of our nature. And so we have to always watch it because it's ready to pop out at any given moment. Fascism always has to be kept very carefully in check.
Listen to the Ladies of Liberty Sound Off on iHeartRadio or our free apps on Apple, Android, or Alexa.
Because of COVID-19, the average American worries about their immune health 4 times a day. That's 112 times per year. To minimize the worries, leading nutritional supplement company, Healthy Cell, created Immune Super Boost, an immune supplement that contains 15 full doses of science-backed nutrients like vitamin C, zinc, elderberry, and echinacea, all in a one-a-day pill-free gel pack. It tastes great, is convenient on the go, and it's more natural too, without chemical binders, fillers, and coatings. Supporting a strong and resilient immune system can be simple. Go to HealthyCell.com and use code OUTLOUD for 20% off your first order of Immune Super Boost. That's HealthyCell.com, HealthyCell, and use code OUTLOUD for 20% off.
AmericaOutloud.com is the alternative from the agenda-driven globalist. Here, we take on the challenges of our generation so that we can preserve future generations. On-demand podcast or real-time talk radio with our streaming apps on Apple, Android, or Alexa. America Out Loud Talk Radio. Liberty and justice for all.
Don't miss an episode of the Ladies of Liberty Sound Off. Subscribe to the podcast. And for the latest news and inspiration, join us back at AmericaOutloud.com.
Welcome back to Ladies of Liberty Sound Off. And today, I am sounding off with two of my favorite ladies. We have with us Mallory Millett. And Mallory is on the board of directors of the David Horowitz Freedom Center. She has been for over 20 years, and she's a lady that has lived all over the world, currently living in New York. And then we're going to go all the way across the country, and we're going to talk to Jean Llewellyn. And Jean is the Vice President of Programs for the Republican Women in Westlake Village. And she does lots of other things. She owns some businesses, runs some businesses. She's a very busy lady. And right smack in the middle of the country is me, Linda Martinelli. I also am a business owner and entrepreneur, and also am the host, along with my husband, Dr. Ron Martinelli, of Talking While Married right here on America Out Loud every weeknight at 8 p.m. Eastern Time. Take a listen to us there. In the meantime, we need to talk to Mallory here real quick, because Mallory has a subject that I just think is fascinating. Mallory, I'm handing it over to you.
Well, I'm just wanting to point out to people, because I just don't think they look at what's going on in our society and what's happening all around them with a level of discernment that I'm trying to encourage. I want people to understand that, you know, societies, most societies are run by women. The fact of the matter is that the way things have usually panned out is that men run the world. They run the mechanisms. They run the tools and the institutions and that sort of thing of society. But women run society. And that's what's so important, because it starts out in the home. If the mother is in the home and she's teaching the children, everything that she teaches that was in America was based on the Ten Commandments, Judeo-Christian ethics. And that those things would go right out of the home from what was taught to the three-year-old, the five-year-old. They go out into every institution, every department, every bureau, every school, every business, every corporation. These values fan out through the entire society if women are doing their job properly and if they're really, really running society, which is a vital, vital thing for women to do. Men do all these other things that are the sort of the grunt work in a way of the world, but the women sort of design the society. Mae West said, I love this quote from Mae West. I use it all the time. When women go wrong, men go right after them. That is, of course, a double entendre. She's trying to say, once a woman, becomes very loose, she's popular with the men because they know where they can get some. But that's really what she was really saying that is a double entendre also. When women go bad, men go right after them. Also, Bishop Sheen, the very famous Bishop Sheen, said, the level of civilization is always the level of its womanhood. He says that when a man loves a woman, he starts to strive to live up to her level, her standards. The level of ethics which she determines is what the man will kill himself to live up to. And Bishop Sheen does a whole big long speech about this. And so what happened is that the women decided that they were going to be like men, that they wanted to be men, that they wanted to scrap the home, dump the kids, dump the house, dump all those up until then womanly duties, and go out and grab a briefcase and go out and run the world. And ever since women have done this, which it really started big time in America, ever since they did this, the world has started to go to hell, and the world is not being well run by the men. It's being run by a combination of men and women. You've got people like Nancy Pelosi and Maxine Waters and all of these troublemakers coming in and throwing monkey wrenches into everything. And the society has gone to hell. We have a world now here in America of kids who are slovenly, obese, covered with tattoos. They have no manners. They have no grace. They're just a complete mess. The American kids nowadays, the American children, the people you see walking down the street are nothing like what we had here 60, 70 years ago. We had some pretty well-managed, highly disciplined, clean-cut, great kids, very wholesome, refreshing. And when I traveled all over the world the way I did, the people just worshipped America because of our cleanliness, our wholesomeness, the wonderful messages in our movies, the great morals that we taught. And that's just gone totally and completely gone to hell. These activist women who started this second wave feminism decided that they had to do away with anything nice. You couldn't be a lady. It was insulting to be called a lady. And they decided that what they really wanted to do was to get rid of all taboos. Now, I was in all the meetings when these women formed the National Organization of Women. I was there at all these meetings. And it became a very hot topic and a very exciting thing for them to progress into was the destroying of all taboos, which means that everything was okay. There was nothing to be taboo. Abortion, homosexuality, cannibalism, bestiality, polygamy, incest, witchcraft, pedophilia, pederasty, prostitution, orgyism, theft. Now you can steal under $1,000 from any store. Adultery, drugs. This is they actually actively worked to abolish taboos. Now, all I have to say is, when you abolish the taboos in a society, you have taken on the utter ruin of your city, of your state, and of your country. There's nothing good that will come from that. There have to be taboos. But take this into account, ladies. These were the women who did this. Well, and they decided that they wanted to destroy the family. They all became Marxists. And the biggest thing was to destroy the family. Oh, that's a great idea. Let's destroy the family.
I think that it's more than that. There's other commonalities there to say that they were just women that were doing this, because it was a very small elitist group of extreme activists, for whatever reasons they had, that came together to embark on these radical changes in the value structure of American society. And yeah, it had ripple effects all through the 60s, with taking the very small case of prayer in schools, and how that got leapfrogged up to the
right,
SCOTUS, to the Supreme Court. And then in overnight, the entire country had to change the way that you had kids saying the Pledge of Allegiance and a prayer at the beginning, yeah, of school. So
that was Madeline Murray O'Hare.
Yes.
That was,
yes,
a woman, exactly, that did that. It was Madeline Murray O'Hare took God out of the schools. My,
yes,
sister took mommy out of the home. You take those two things and you ruin a society. It's just ruined.
The point I'm trying to make is that I think we need to look past those particular activists' gender and look more at how they affected that change, because they were, and this is exactly what we're facing now, a small elitist group,
yeah,
that has no ties to Main Street and the dining room table of the Norman Rockwell picture, as contrived as that is. It was still,
yeah,
and every minority, every family that lived in America enjoyed that. That's why America is exceptional. We have our warts and our flaws, but we're all kind of, you know, we're improving and we're getting down the road on all of this. But you have the ability within this system that we really had checks and balances, and our forefathers and all of the things that we put into place, we're still allowing these fundamental values to be undermined by a small elitist group of people. So in my opinion, I think what the argument or the discussion or the thoughtful breaks that need to be put on this is, how do you stop that from happening in the future? We're dealing with it again with these oligarchies and these, right? We have 65 million people or more that voted for Trump, and they're literally being silenced and eliminated from the public square and the discussion. Why is that happening? What are the human things that we're stepping back and allowing this other noise to take up the conversation and all the oxygen in the room?
Well, because it was Karl Marx's, you know, all of the Frankfurt School and all of these people, Wilhelm Reich, they planned this, just as I was saying earlier, that the Chinese planned consequences of releasing the viruses. And these people, you know, they plotted to take over our schools. They plotted to take over our media. They fanned out and deliberately did this. Remember, I've told you before in other shows that my sister went all over America and established every woman's studies class in every college and university in America. And she did this personally. She got on planes and trains and automobiles, packed her suitcases, and went to every college and university and talked them into having these women's studies classes, which they now have. Now, all you have to do is get a hold of these 19-year-old girls and tell them all to be outlaws, be damned outlaws. Don't believe any, don't follow any law made up by white men. White old men are dead and gone. They're the detritus of society. And then they took over the media. They've taken over all of these. Just look at Black Lives Matter, Antifa is a good example. And also Black Lives Matter. When you look at the people who are messing around in the streets and doing activism for those things, notice how many of them are 20-year-old white girls. So many of them are young white girls. They're the people causing a lot of this trouble. The boys go right after the girls. The families start to do anything to please their daughters because she's coming home from her first semester at Harvard and she's livid about everything. Her teacher is telling her that her mother's a one-man prostitute. Her mother made a bad choice in making a family and having children. These kids are coming home, and it's these professors in these colleges. You know, Jesus Christ started with 12 guys and a few women. And now billions of people's souls have been saved. You can start with a tiny cell. just as Hitler started with that little group of brown shirts, and you can wreck the world.
No, I totally
or build it up,
or you can save the world, right?
Yes.
And you know, Mallory, I didn't know when we started talking about the subject if I was going to agree or not. I actually absolutely agree. It's exactly the way that I feel. Women are the soul of the world. Are the ones who are supposed to take care of the morality, take care of the ethics. Men are, as you say, they are the warriors. They are out there, you know, doing their thing. But women have so much more power. And
if we choose to use it
in the proper ways, we literally can save the world. And that's not just in America. It's all over the world, because women really have a power, a God-given power over men and with men in concert with each other that makes this whole thing work. But what happened was, as you said, women decided that we don't need men and we don't have to have all of these encumbrances, and we don't need to have children, especially not in our younger years as women used to have. And they stopped. And, you know, therefore, the family in our country is in big trouble. We are not having enough children to replace ourselves. Think about the repercussions of that. Think about, where is our workforce in 10 or 15 years going to come from? Because we are not going to have enough people that we as Americans have produced to take over the jobs that are needed to be done. So therefore, they're going to come. You're exactly right. From over the border.
And the families that we do have, are messes. They're filled with stepbrothers, stepsisters, half-brothers, half-sisters, stepmother, stepfather. I mean, every one of these murder cases you see on television is just always something to do with the mess that the family got into, you know?
And it's because, I mean, there are a lot of reasons, but and too many to go into, and I'm not a psychologist, but I agree that women have a power to save ourselves in America, to save our families, and to save our children, because they are the people that hold the key to the morality is the best word I can think of. You ladies can probably think of a better one, but of our society. And when women started giving up on marriages, and I'm not talking about bad marriages. There are bad marriages. There are marriages people should never have gotten into and they should get out of. But I'm talking about choosing wisely, making decisions for your own self-esteem. Because if you make decisions that are good for you, you're not going to choose unwisely. You know, you're not going to get married to that first person that walks up or tries to control you or what. You're going to make a wise decision. And how that woman acts in the relationship holds the key to how that relationship will go in many cases. It also holds the key to how the world goes. I absolutely agree with that. I believe in it with all my heart that women have much more power than they give themselves credit for, and they are using that power in the wrong ways right now that are not benefiting themselves nor society.
Well, you know, one of the things I love to refer to, because, you know, the Marxists who got a hold of these educated women who all met together at these meetings I attended in the National Organization of Women, you know, these people always... they had to convince women that they had no power. First of all, they convinced women that men were running roughshod over them and men were controlling their lives completely, and then you had no power. And then you got into this talk about empowerment. If I hear that word empowerment in the same sentence with the word woman one more time, I'm going to jump out a window. I'm so sick of all of this, because I love to refer back to Genesis, to the Garden of Eden. And when I was a little girl, my older sisters, who were already commies, who were rebels and against the society, they were always leaning over and instructing me how to look at life. And I was 5 years old, and the first time I heard the Genesis story of Adam and Eve, the way it was filtered to me through my sisters was, they're trying to tell you that women are evil, that man is good and woman is evil. So Adam was there and he was a good guy. He was wonderful. Then Eve got created and she was evil and she brought Adam down and she destroyed the world, so that we're all supposed to feel guilty as women now and feel dirty and bad because Eve brought Adam down. But when you really look carefully at the story, that's not what the story says at all. What the story says is that Adam was there. God made Eve. And what happened is that when the serpent came and tempted the couple, Adam said, you know, he wasn't so into it. And then the serpent tempted Eve. And Eve went to Adam and talked him into going against God. Now, Adam knew who God was. He had a personal relationship with God. They spoke often. They were in close contact. He knew that God had made him. He knew who God was. And yet, the minute that Eve got into the picture, man was willing to defy even God in order to make her happy. That's the meaning of the story. The true meaning of the story is that Adam needed first to make Eve happy, even before God. Now, that's some kind of power for you. That's all the power. That means that whatever the woman really discerns, the man will end up doing it in order to make her smile, in order to make her happy. And there's no other way of looking at the story. When you really sit down and dissect it and pull it apart, that's the only way you can look at it. God said, don't do something. The woman said, do it. He listened to her before he listened to God. And that's what women have to be so careful about. You have to know that when you're in a deep relationship with a man, he is dependent upon your standards.
Yes.
You set the standards, and the man will then jump as high as he has to meet those standards.
Yep, I don't disagree. I have to say that, you know, when the, this might sound a little off, but follow with me. When the Texas Democrats left Texas instead of voting on their voting bill, there is a Texas Democrat woman by the name of Michelle Beckley who has been on Twitter, and she's been touting how brave she is and that she came to D.C. to fight for voting rights in Texas, although the Texas bill for voting rights has nothing to do with, you know, taking away rights from anybody. That's just a lie. But what I was horrified about, to your point about women, is the amount of women that tweeted hateful responses. I'm not used to seeing that much hatred coming from women.
Yeah.
And I am so sad to see it. And I'm so sad to see the vitriol coming out of their mouth. It's just so ugly.
And well, Lynn, did you notice that all those women who took that plane, they were all those people, they were mostly women.
Yes,
those politicians were mostly women.
And it's mostly women who answered her on Twitter. And I'm just kind of shocked about that. Jean, what's your input on that?
Oh my. Well, I think my question is, I enjoyed the feminist movement. I was a schoolgirl in the 60s, and I remember very well being in California when I didn't have to wear skirts all the time and I could wear pants and jeans and the rest of it. That was the big deal for us in grade school. But my mother stayed home, was a stay-at-home mom, as was her mother before her. But we're going back pretty far, though. My grandmother was born in 1895. My father was born in 1914. My parents were older when they had me. So I was raised by two parents that went through the Depression. And my mom stayed home, and I was blessed to be able to stay home with my two kids as well. So my experience is from that standing point. I know many people who, my girlfriend is French and she's a couple of years older than I am, but her mother worked the whole time. So, you know, I think that everybody's situation, you know, was a bit of a different experience going through that time period, and that the opportunity of women to, you know, we were having more ability in the home to take less time to do the chores or whatever. And so we had more and more leisure time as a society, as a Western civilization. So yeah, we were able, and oftentimes if you know, to be able to kind of juggle both things, how well did that turn out? I think it's very questionable, but I also think that, I think that people are so uniquely different, and the three of us, maybe, you know, my career has been with, some of the most male oriented businesses that exist. Yeah. I was in rock and roll in promotions in all through the 80s, for God's sakes. I lived in London and worked with Elton John, you know, so, and now I'm in commercial construction. So, but it doesn't faze me. I'm a strong personality. And so I make my way through the world accordingly, but I know a lot of people don't have that in them, and they stand down instead of standing up sometimes. And so do you have to create, I use the word institutions kind of loosely. I'm sure there's a better way to phrase that, but to help those women, to have opportunity to be able to find a voice. So where we now give money when we buy a pound of coffee, because it's helping a female tribal entity in sub-Saharan, Africa or something, because they don't have the ability to get loans to go out and get the goat to feed the family and on and on. And these things are so successful because the world at large has found ways in order to give pathways to these women for opportunity. And, you know, but yet I remember reading a story about Westerners coming in, an NGO coming in to build dig a well for these women. And they kept digging the well and they kept finding it destroyed, and they couldn't figure out what was happening. They thought maybe another tribe was coming in and destroying this. And they finally spoke to the women and they said, "You don't understand. We want to walk to get water because it's our only opportunity to be away and talk and gossip and have our moment, you know. So we don't want the well. We want to go walk and get the water, because it gives them an opportunity to leave the home and the chores and have a moment of reprieve, even though it's a chore in and of itself."
Well, ladies, that's a wrap. One more step for womankind.